Praise the Lord. You should be praising the Lord. That was a pretty good song service, right? You know that Ben Hastings, the first song? You know, One day I listened to one of his songs, and then Brother Aaron sent me this song. You know, that's it's just raw honesty. Because that's where the body of Christ is. But everybody's afraid to say that. And see, these songs that are coming out right now, this Ben Hastings, they say that he has the best vocal voice there is. He can hit every note, and just it all harmonizes. God has brought a lot of new faces on the scene with the praise and worship, and we're going to see a difference in praising God and worshiping the Father. I want to say something this morning before we get started. You know, 20-some years ago, God told me there was going to be a black and white war. Brother Chris thought it was going to be, what was it? Islam against the whites. But God said it was going to happen, and we see we have a black and white war going on. It has to happen because God said 20-some years ago it was going to happen. But that doesn't mean the church has to be partaker of it. We should not be changing the way we feel or think about anybody. We are all God's children. And really, I see a lot of churches doing things that are not right. And they call themselves children of God. And if they're going to be children of God, then they need to change the way they think and the way they act towards one another. You know, I love you. I don't care who you are. And I hope you love me. You don't care who I am. We are all children of God. We have one goal, and that's to make heaven our home. You know, and God's not going to stand at the gate and say, well, if you're blue, you can't come in. He's not going to say that. He's going to look at your heart. And where's your heart? Are we loving our brothers and our sisters? You know, are we doing what God's calling us forth to do? You need to really think about this stuff really hard. Because you might think you're going to go to heaven, and when you get there to the gate, God will say, depart from me, I don't know you. And he said that love has to be our foundation. And he was a guy that died, and he went to heaven, and God told him that one thing he's going to ask each one of us is, have you learned to love? And if you haven't learned to love, you're not going into heaven. Paul Jones, it was, it said, wasn't it? So I really want you to think about this. Are you a true child of God? Are you looking at each other just through eyes, the eyes of Christ, and not wondering what color the skin is or what how they talk or, you know? Come on. Church, you guys know better, and you need to be leading the way. And when you hear that, when this race stuff starts coming up, you need to be the first one to say, Jesus loves us all. Jesus loves each one of us. And it's taken each one of us to fulfill the promises of God. Now, I don't know why, you know, God, like I said, God told me 20-some years ago this was going to happen. I don't know why it had to happen, but it is. Are we being tested? I don't know. Is God testing us to see if we'll stay in with our convictions that we love our brothers and sisters? Another thing I want to talk about is each one of you need to start thinking about what God promised you. And I don't care if it was 20 years ago he promised it to you. You have to remember his promise. Because his promises are yes and they are amen. And I don't, you know, what the devil's doing is he's throwing things at us to make us believe that we'll never receive those promises. But if God spoke them and you stand in faith, you're going to receive those promises. People have come to us and said, 10, 15 years ago, the pastor prophesied this into my life, and it finally happened exactly the way God spoke it. So, you know, don't be looking at your circumstances. Look at the promises. Constantly keep your eyes upon the promises. Because if you don't realize that you're being tested at the very core of your being right now. Anything the enemy can throw at you, he's throwing at you. Not going to, he is throwing at you. How are you faring? Are you standing tall? Or are you letting him throw all these circumstances at you and causing you to stagger and wonder, what if? I really want you to think about this morning. Because God's promises are going to come to pass, whatever He's spoken to your life. And Mary still, and this is the reason why I spoke about this, because God's telling me to tell you that it doesn't matter what your eyes see or your ears hear. What He has spoken is going to come to pass. And what He promised you is that you and your husband would be one and you would serve the Lord along with your children. So no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're feeling, stand on the promises. Father, I just thank you and I give you all honor and all glory for each and every person that came out here tonight, this morning. I thank you, Father God, that they are willing vessels, willing to change, willing to stand when they've done all to stand. I thank you, Father God, that they love you to the very core of their being. I'm asking you this morning, Father God, to do a special work within each and every one of them. I'm asking you, Father God, to bring them up higher than they were yesterday. I'm asking, Father, that those that are able to carry the glory, that you fill them with your glory this morning. I know we're asking a lot, Father. But you say we have not because we ask not. And then we don't ask big enough. So, Father God, we're asking for the biggest glory drop that we've ever seen. We thank you, Father. We're asking also, Father God, for the move that you said this church was going to move and that it starts today. Yes. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. Thank you, Father God, for leading, guiding, and directing us in the path that we should go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's going to talk about righteousness. He's going to talk about Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jehoshaphat here. All right, the name Jehoshaphat is a biblical baby name. The meaning of the name Jehoshaphat is the Lord is judge. In Hebrew, it means Yahweh has judged. Now, Jehoshaphat was a famous Judean king who led his people back to the true worship of God. Do you hear that? Jehoshaphat was a famous Judean king who led his people back to the true worship of God during his reign. This Judean king was known for having a generally peaceful and prosperous reign. He was the son of another righteous Judean leader named King Ahaz. Or is that Asa? Well, anyhow, he was 35 years old when he ruled the kingdom of Judah, and he reigned for 25 years. Now, I wanted to give you some background about Jehoshaphat because you're going to see what God is telling us, all right? Now, this is what God said. He said, this morning, let us take a walk down memory lane. Isn't that neat? God is so neat, isn't he? He said, I want to speak to you about King Jehoshaphat, who led his people back into true worship. The king was a righteous man and feared me. Well, I got that first little paragraph. I said, oh, no, where are we going with this? And can I do this? All right. Now, God said he spent all the days of his life teaching my people of my precepts, period. There was never a moment when he did not give me all honor and glory. Jehoshaphat gave God all honor and glory at all times. I blessed the king all the days of his life. King Jehoshaphat's father was Asa, was another righteous king whom I also blessed. The entire time King Jehoshaphat reigned, he brought peace into this place of dominion, into his place of dominion. Let's stop there. What's God been telling us to do? To bring peace, to rest in peace. And as God was giving me this, I just felt like we were back there with Jehoshaphat. And that the things that Jehoshaphat was doing, this is what God is calling us to do. So the entire time King Jehoshaphat reigned, he brought peace into his place of dominion. I am speaking about my righteous kings because I want you to do the very same thing King Jehoshaphat did. I want you to lead this generation of people back into worship of the Almighty, holiness and righteousness. So he wants us all in here and whoever's listening to lead the people out of the chaos that's going on back into peace, holiness and righteousness and worship. You know, I just feel like, remember, God said there was going to be, worship was going to start changing. And I'm excited with the songs this morning. I thought they were excellent songs. And I'm just excited with what God's going to be doing. And, you know, I'm really sorry that we're on this little video camera thing, because we have to stop the music, you know, and go on about business. And I don't like going on about business, because the Holy Spirit, I don't want to cut him off. And I feel like we cut him off whenever we say, well, 30 minutes for praise and worship, period, end. You know, that's cutting the Holy Spirit off. And I'll be glad we're up underneath this bondage. All right, God said, I want you to bring peace into a troubled land. I do not want you to stand idly by and watch the darkness destroy my land. Are you listening, church? You have a job to do. We don't stand idly by just, oh, look what's going on out there in the world. No, we need to look what's going on in heavenly places. Then we need to draw that down into the earthly realm and watch the people's lives change. God said, yes, I am shaking and breaking off, but I have commanded you to be in peace. Isn't that what he told us to do? And be about the Father's business. Am I not the Father? Then be about my business. What is the business at hand? The harvest. You are reapers, and you are to bring in the harvest of lost and dying souls. That's your job at this point. It's not to see how big your name can, you can make your name. Doesn't matter. You're not supposed to be out there trying to make money, pull money in. You're supposed to be bringing in the harvest. We're not supposed to be out there, oh, woe is me. We got to forget about, oh, woe is me, and keep our eyes on God and do what God's calling us for to do. God said, be as my king was. He was steadfast. And do not deter from the path I have set your feet upon. You have to, I don't care if you like the path that God has put, placed your feet upon or not. You have to stay on that path. There is a purpose for that path that God has placed your feet upon. And we can't be concerned about the circumstances on that path either. We have to go ahead and follow God with all of our being. Endure what he has to, what we have to endure, and go on with God. I think God gave somebody a prophetic word this morning, and he said, my son hung on the cross, and you can too. You know, you can endure whatever I'm sending you to do. Too many of us want God never to touch us. Just let us be happy and peaceful, and let our health be wonderful, you know, let our finances be wonderful, and I'll work for you, God, as long as you do this for me. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. Jesus said, I'll go to earth and be the lamb. And he endured Calvary. And he didn't complain about it. We don't endure our crosses. We fuss. We moan, we groan, and we complain. We don't have the chance to do that anymore, church. God just told us our job is to bring peace and bring in the harvest at all cost. Are you listening? And anybody that God's using right now, I can tell you, you're being tested to the core of your being. There isn't any area that the enemy hasn't touched, trying to discourage you and to bring you down. Be honest with yourselves. You know that's true. All right, God said, as you read the story of Jehoshaphat, you will see that he came from a godly line of descendants and he followed in his father's footsteps. Most of you did not have godly guidance, but I am here teaching you in righteousness. So you can't say, well, I didn't have godly parents. God said, I'm teaching you righteousness. When I was born again, I didn't understand that I could speak to God, and I didn't understand all this stuff. But he said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. You don't have to go away to Bible school. My Holy Spirit's going to teach you. You know, I'm not higher than you, and you're not higher than me. If God said the Holy Spirit will teach one person, he'll teach everybody. And you can't blame it on your pastor when you stand before God and you don't get to go into the gate. Amen. You're supposed to be studying yourself. Amen. All right? All right. King Ahaz is an example of an individual who, even though he walked in righteousness for most of his life, failed to faithfully endure and serve God until his death. And that's in 2 Chronicles 16:1-12. Now, isn't that what's going on in the body of Christ right now? You've endured and you've endured and you have endured. But finally you said, well, enough is enough, and then you quit. Right before you was ready to be, God was ready to pull you in your ministry, you quit. You don't have the option to do that. You have to endure whatever God wants you to do. Why did I get so sick? Why am I still going through the sicknesses that I'm going through? God, I told this morning, getting ready for church is a trip because of all the pain. And I'm sitting in there in the shower talking to God. Yep, God, yep, we can do this together. Yep, God, yep, I can. You know, I'm just talking to Jesus. That's why I love that song. You know, instead of you, oh, God, I'm going to just kill me. Take me on him, whatever you say. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus, just like you were standing right there beside you. And, you know, not that if anybody hears me, they'll think I'm nuts, you know. But that's the only way we're going to make it through. It's the only way we're going to make it through. And if you think you're too high to stand in the shower and talk to Jesus, then you got a problem. Teresa Ann stuck her head around the corner. Oh, you already took a bath? I said, yep, I did. Do you know what this sickness has done for me, though? I have more compassion for sick people. I didn't realize I didn't have that much compassion for sick people. I told God, I learned my lesson. Yeah. So everything we go through, God is trying to build character in you in that area. And so whatever God's bringing you through, he's trying to teach you something. So you just go through it and let God teach you. The sooner you let him teach you, the sooner you can graduate into the next class, right? All right, so even though he was righteous for the most of his life, he failed to faithfully endure and serve God until his death. And you can find that written in 2 Chronicles 16, 1 through 12. In Hebrews 3, 6, we are encouraged to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hebrews 3, 6, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. It didn't say in the middle. It didn't say three quarters of the way down the line. It says to the end. And so, you know, let's just be honest. For some of us, we are a little tired of enduring. We would like for God to jump in there and just get the thing over with. But he said, no, you haven't learned all you need to learn yet in this little thing. Remember God told me, daughter, when you're ready to get off of that mountain, he says, I'll be standing here waiting on you. I kept going around and around and around the mountain about a certain years ago, about a certain thing. He said, when you're ready to stop, I'm here and we can move on. So if you're still going around that mountain, you haven't decided you want to stop yet. All right, I'm just going to say something else here. You know, when I was first born again, you know, I had cancer in my colon and I had a couple of weeks to live. But I said, no, I'm leaving here, leaving the hospital. They was going to do something, treatment. And I said, I'm going to go to a prayer meeting. And I know when I go there, that they're going to lay hands on me and I'm going to be healed. See, God told me our faith isn't where, I'm telling you, because he told me your faith isn't where it should be yet. So I went into that prayer meeting and I explained my situation. They said, you lay your hand on where it's at and we'll pray. I was healed that night of cancer. That night. Why? Because my faith was high. And I just knew that if I went to this prayer meeting, and you tell you honest truth about it, people weren't even right in the prayer meeting. So it wasn't them. It was my faith had built up to the point where I knew I would be healed. Even though you say, well, have faith, you don't have enough faith yet. I'm telling you, God showed me this the other night about myself. He said, what about the prayer meeting? And he told me not too long ago, I'm just waiting on you. So I'm trying to figure out what I got to do yet. You know, this is serious stuff. See, it's you and God. It's not you and the world and God. It's you and God. It's your walk. It's your faith. How much faith do you really have for God to do what you need done in your life? Don't get under condemnation with this now. Because maybe God just isn't quite ready to heal you yet. Some people say, that's not true. Well, I read in the Bible where he didn't heal everybody. Come on. All right, Hebrews 10:35-39 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. I got to write that word on my mirror or something. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. God doesn't, you know, say, so you're sick and you feel like you're going to die. You know, you don't draw back and say, well, God's a liar. He doesn't heal. You don't do that. You just stand in faith, knowing that God is able and God has your life all planned out, and he knows exactly when he wants to heal you. Right? All right, a life committed to God. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, when Jehoshaphat took over the throne, he quickly, number one, established himself as a righteous ruler who feared the Lord, and number two, he was devoted to God in his heart and his actions. That was the two things he established immediately. And because of these decisions, his love for God greatly benefited the kingdom of Judah. The people's hearts were turned from the false worship of Baal that was present in the land during his time in power. Because of his actions, God strengthened the nation of Judah so that no one would dare to attack them for many years. This is because of the two decisions that Jehoshaphat made when he first started his reign. Judah's foreign enemies also sent them gifts and paid tribute to avoid going to war with Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord was on the nations that surrounded Judah, and this caused them to treat Judah with love and respect. Since God had made the other nations fear Judah, Jehoshaphat was able to build up forts and strengthen his military forces. You know, as I read that, I just remembered about a month ago I read where somebody said that Judah has to arise. And so, you know, since God told me he wanted to talk about Jehoshaphat, that he's saying we need to arise. And we need to help God right the wrong that's going on in the churches, in our families, even in the government out there in the world. You know, see, I'm hearing God say this is testing time. And you've never been this way before. And some of you are collapsing because that's an awful hard test, right? See, you aren't as strong as you thought you were. So God is strengthening you all the more. Are you listening here? You know, I'm going through all this. I'm just going to show you this. I've been going through all this mess I'm going through. And I thank God it's finally starting to, I think, heal up. And then I start losing my hearing. You know, so I got some sort of tetanitis. I forgot what it's called. And it says it's an infection in your brain. It's affecting, you know, through your ears, but it's really in your brain. So now I'm going through this. And I was saying, God, you know, my legs are hurting, you know, and now I got this, and I got other things on my body. But, you know, God knows what I can endure. And I'm not backing down from God. It would have been easier to stay in bed than it would be to take a bath and get here today. You know, but I, God told me, you need to take back to church. You need to get back into church. And so he strengthens me. I know it takes me 3 hours to get dressed, so I know I got to 3 hours of time. So that's what I do. So what are you complaining about? What's going on in your life? You know, God promised me I was going to have a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. And I kept hearing a first fruit when I first got sick. So that means I was going to get sick. Because this is what God explained to me, and then I was going to get better. And then Catherine Kuhlman anointing would hit, and Teresa Ann didn't know that, but she came and told Nancy that this morning, that God showed her that when I get through all the sickness, and that's when the anointing's going to come, Catherine Kuhlman anointing's going to come, and the miracles of healing are going to start. Yeah. So you see, yes, this is hard, but I'm going to endure. I'm going to endure. And you, when you see people who are sick and they're enduring in the house of God, don't say, what sin are you in? They're not in a sin. God's allowing the enemy to test us. Read Job. That's back up there. I want you guys to be strong in the Lord. I want you to make, determine your heart today. It doesn't matter what Satan sends your way, you're going to keep going. You know, you don't care who you lose along the way. God is able to keep you. It doesn't matter your husband, your kids, your friends. Doesn't matter who might leave you because they think you're fanatic. You stay with God and you do what God's calling you for to do. And you watch and see how God's going to raise you up in this last end time era and use you in a mighty way. All right, so then I said, since God had made the other nations fear Judah, Jehoshaphat was able to build up forts and strengthen his military forces. And you can find that in 2 Chronicles 17, 14 through 19. And it tells us there were 1,160,000 men in Jehoshaphat's army. And that's not including those who are in the other cities throughout Judah. That's a lot of men. A lot of people. Quite an army. All right, in 2 Chronicles 18, 1 through 3, King Jehoshaphat allies with King Ahab. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him, and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. He didn't ask God. In 2 Chronicles 19, 1 through 3, Jehu, son of Hanani, prophesies against King Jehoshaphat, against him. Once the king returned home, he was soon greeted by a prophet named Jehu, who was a son of Hanani. Jehu told the king that the wrath of God was upon him. God didn't carry out this judgment right away because of the good things that the king had done for him and the people of Judah. Some of you think, I sinned and, aha, God's not doing anything, so I got away with it. Now, God told me one day, judgment day always comes. All right, so let's go on here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 tells us eventually God's judgment finally came and the Ammonites, with the help of the Moabites, attacked Judah. This particular foreign army was huge and vast, and they were so big that they could have annihilated King Jehoshaphat's forces if they went to war. All of Judah was afraid, so the king summoned the people and gave a speech and a prayer to God to overcome this great enemy. What did he do? He prayed to God to help him. Then a priest named Jehazel prophesied that God would give Judah victory against this united army. God revealed to the army of Judah that they had to praise him with music and songs. And when they did, he defeated the invading army by having them to turn on each other until they destroyed themselves. What did he tell them to do? They had to praise him with music and songs. When you're in a bad place, you know, in your life, you need to start listening to praise and worship. You need to turn that praise and worship music on and just drown out the voice of the devil and just praise God. I personally believe that Isaiah 54 kicked in for Jehoshaphat at this point, and Isaiah 54, 7 through 10 said, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. Remember, he said the wrath of God was upon him. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Isaiah 54, 7, 54 is my chapter. God gave me that when I was first started to church. And I go back to this many times. God, don't be angry with me too much longer. You promised me in your word that you wouldn't hold wrath against me for a long time. Are you listening here? King Jehoshaphat and his forces carried away the plunder of the enemy, and the fear of God came upon all the surrounding nations. Once again, no one messed with Judah because of God's protection. Eventually, people are going to let you alone. Well, let's say the devil's going to let you alone because he's going to see how God is protecting you, and he knows that God's going to get on him if he doesn't leave you alone. Are you listening here? The last days of Jehoshaphat, and that's in 2 Chronicles 20, 31 through 38. Jehoshaphat's last days were peaceful, but the people still didn't fully have their hearts set on their Lord, and some pagan temples and altars remained in the land. God was also disappointed with Jehoshaphat for making an alliance with King Ahab's successor, King Uzziah, and he destroyed Judah's trading vessels as a result. That's in 2 Chronicles 20, 35 through 37. King Jehoshaphat should not align himself with King Ahab, but because he did, God destroyed their trading vessels, so that cut off their supply for a while. God is going to get you one way or another. You know, you might think you get away with stuff, but you don't. God sees all, knows all. Come on. You need to tell your kids that too. I tell my kids that all the time. You can do things that I don't see, but God sees all things. Right? Ultimately, God claimed that King Jehoshaphat's rule was successful, if you really read about it. And 2 Chronicles 17 to 21 is devoted to the reign of Jehoshaphat, if you want to read about it. And 1 Kings 22, 1 through 50 summarizes the events of his life. So really, if you read 1 Kings 22, 1 through 50, everything you read in 2 Chronicles is the same. It's really the same thing. Now, God said, children, as I used King Jehoshaphat to tear down the high places during his reign, I also want to use you to walk in righteousness and holiness and tear down the high places in this new era. See, that's why he went back and started talking about, it's time now that Judah arises. It's time that we bring holiness, righteousness, and praise and worship back into the house of God. God's a total commitment to holiness and righteousness is what I require of my servants in this hour. Are you ready to commit yourself to me this hour? And you know, as God said, I said, God, you've asked him that question over us, that question over and over and over again. He said, I'm still asking it because even though they acted like they did, they didn't. All right. Are you ready to commit yourself to me this hour? Are you willing to go the extra mile and praise me in the middle of the storm? Then he said, I'm waiting. And how long has he been telling us now we need to run into the eye of the storm? That he is in the storms with us. Come on. I mean, I was really super sick. I actually saw the angels walking in my bedroom all the time. I mean, they were there with me. God was not going to let the enemy take me out. You see, you really have to trust God. And a lot of you people don't trust God. You trust in your own vain imaginations, and you don't receive all the best that God has for you. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, just about the church, and I thought, God, we're a simple bunch of people. We are. You know, we don't have, you know, we're not out there, our names aren't lights or anything else. We're just a simple bunch of people. Little lambs, you know, that God's taking care of. And I think he takes care of us very well, don't you? Yes. You know, when something rises up that we know we can't take care of, we take it to God and he takes care of it. That's why he loves us so much, because we're so simple. We're plain people. I mean, you don't have to take that on you if you don't want to, but that's what I am. I'm just a plain old person, you know, I don't like a lot of frills, and I don't need people to recognize that I'm there. And I'm so dumb, I didn't even know I had anointing when I had anointing all those years. That's how dumb I am. And I ask God not to let me be dumb this time and understand what I had. You understand that? And I believe there's some of you sitting here this morning or even the sound of my voice. You know, you don't even understand how much anointing is on your life. You don't understand the giftings that God has given you. But I really want you just to really thank God that He thinks that you're worthy to carry His gifts. Just like that boy said in that song, you know, if faith is a gift, give it to me, you know. Now, ask yourself this morning, because I don't want God to have me give another sermon saying, are you willing? Now, ask yourself this morning, am I really willing to pick up my cross, no matter what's on that cross, and carry it to the end without complaining? Am I really willing to do that? But you can't complain. I didn't hear Jesus complaining in the Bible. I think He did that to His Father when He went to the mountain. Look at them dumb bunch of people down there. They won't receive anything I say. And, you know, if you really minister for a season, you'll think the same thing. What's the matter with these people? Why aren't they getting this? I've even said to God over and over again, God, we need Your glory because the word's not getting it. Come on. I'm just hearing God say there's a blockage between you and the heavenly realm. That it's a high place that you have to tear down in your life. There's something in your life you're holding on to. And until you give it to God, you're never going to be comprehend what God is saying, or never going to be able to reach the height of the glory He wants to take you to. Now, guys, God told me that He's going to use the Lighthouse Church to win Delaware and Lower Delaware and the Delmarva area to Christ. Now, I just read again this morning where there's just pockets of revival all over the land. It's starting to break out. I have pockets. Do you have pockets? I'd like us to be one of those pockets of land. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready to carry your cross? If you are, the altar's open. And because what God, I'm hearing God, He's going to rain on you this morning.